As we said a moment ago in Hebrews here, there are several ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is better. If you'll notice here in the fourth verse, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus Christ is better than the angels. And then in chapter 7, look at verse 19. 7:19. Says, For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. The law can't make things perfect, but a better hope can. Now, of course, the better hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see that in detail. And then in chapter 8, look at verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a which better promises. So we have a better promise, a better covenant, which is established upon the better promises. And then in chapter 9, verse 23, look at 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, for the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. The heavenly sacrifice was better than those that he's talking about there in the context. And then chapter 10, verse 34. Yeah, 10:34. For ye have compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoil of thy good, knowing in themselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You've got a better and an enduring substance. So we have a better substance. In the 11th chapter, the 16th verse, we have a better country. But now they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to call them, call their God, for he hath prepared them for them a city. So there is a better country. And then in chapter 11, verse 35. There's a better resurrection. Women receiving their dead raised to life again, and others being tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, and so on and so forth. So we have a better resurrection. And the word better here is, or higher, or greater, is all the way through this book of Hebrews as we go through and we see here the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to the first chapter, the fourth verse, being made so much better than the angels, speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Now there are not any of the angels that he calls his son. The Father calls his son. This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. In other words, there's no angel that he said that they are his, that he is their father and they are his son. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a man, God who took on flesh, he called him his son, and he has begotten him. That means that he was born. He was born. This is the virgin birth. This is Jesus Christ coming on the scene, on the earth, approximately 2,000 years ago. So here the Lord Jesus Christ is superior in his relationship to the Lord to the Father, in that he is a son. Now he quotes here two verses of Scripture in the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, when he says, "This thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And then in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, he says, I will be to them a father, and he shall be to me a son. And so we have the superiority of Jesus Christ here in the relationship. In verse 6, and again, or actually it should say, and when he again bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Now, this is talking about when Jesus Christ comes back into the world again. Again, there is actually out of place, and it should be after he. And when he again bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. So when Jesus Christ comes on the scene again, when He comes upon the earth again, all the angels of God will worship Him. So we have angels worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He is to be worshiped, that means that He is higher than the angels. He is superior to them, and He is worthy of their worship. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7, and of the angels He said, who maketh the angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire? Now, angels are ministers. They are a flame of fire. They have to do with the fire here. And we see quite angels doing quite a few things. We see in the book of the Revelation that they have control of the winds. And here they have to do with fire. And then in verse 8, but unto, or face to face with the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy throne, O God. Now notice here He calls Him O God, but actually He says not O God, but the God. And that's a point that you might want to remember and emphasize, because one of these days there are going to be some people coming around and knocking on your door, and they're going to give you some little literature, and they're going to talk to you about their religion. And they're going to tell you that Jesus Christ is a God, but He's not the God. And they're going to tell you that nowhere in the Bible does it say that He is, it says God the Son. But right here, if you'll notice, it says unto the Son, or face to face with the Son, Thy throne, the God. Jesus Christ is called the God here. And it's very, very plain in the Greek that this is the God and not a God. He says that Jesus Christ is certainly a God, but not the God. Well, the Bible says He's the God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, they say that is a God there, but here you can't construe this from any way but that He is the God. You can point this out to Him, and if you have your little Greek interlinear there, you can just look right down through there, and you can see there it is not a God, it is the God. So remember this verse of Scripture when they come around and point this out to them. It's talking there unto the Son. Now, who is the Son? That's not the Father. That's Jesus Christ is the Son. And the Son is the God. Forever and ever. A scepter. Actually, a rod of righteousness. Is the rod of thy kingdom. Whereas the rulership of thy kingdom is righteousness. That's the way you rule. You rule in righteousness. Talking about here the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. And this is a quotation of Psalms 45, 6, and 7. Now there are people today who say that Jesus Christ is not going to reign, that there's reign on the earth. It's just a spiritual reign. But if that be the case, then there are some problems. And I want you to turn with me just a moment to Psalms. And let's look at chapter 45, verse 6 and 7 for just a moment. It's on page 622. Psalms 45, 6 and 7. And he quotes specifically. He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. The rod of thy kingdom is a righteous rod. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, I want you to also turn to Psalms 89. Well, I don't know what the Hebrew would actually say, but in the Greek, it's very, very plain that it is the God. There's just no doubt about it. In fact, it's in the nominative singular, and it's the little omega with a rough breathing, which is always in the nominative case, and it's the God. It's the definite article is in front of God there. And he calls him the God. Anybody with one eye and half sense that knows anything at all, you can take it in a linear, you can see it, it's right there before your eyes, and there's no way you can argue with this whatsoever. This is conclusive over and out. And this needs to be pointed out to them. And I guarantee you, when you show it to them, they'll scratch their head and they'll have to back off. And there's no doubt about who he's talking about. He's talking about the Son. and he's called the God. And there are those who say that Jesus Christ is not going to reign. The Son there is Jesus Christ. Now look at Psalms chapter 89. We'll begin reading at verse 20. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, this is talking about the anointing of David as the king. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. Now, he says, my hand is going to establish him. With my arm, I'm going to hold him up and I'm going to strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. Now his foes are going to be beaten down. Any who try to plague, there will be plagues for those who do not like him or those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set my hand also in the sea, and my right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. He's going to be the firstborn. He's going to be higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. In other words, I'm going to give him a covenant, and it's going to be firm. It's going to be fast. His seed, who's he talking about? David. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. David's throne is going to be like the days of heaven. Now, how long is that? That's a mighty long time. If his children forsake my laws and walk contrary to my ordinances. In other words, if David's children, his posterity, does not do what I tell them, if they're disobedient and they won't listen to me, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. Now, the commandments here have to do with the moral law. The statutes have to do with the ceremonial law. The ordinances have to do with the dietary laws and that kind of thing. He says, then will I visit their transgression with the rod. What's he going to do? He's going to discipline them. The rod has to do with discipline. And their iniquity with stripes. I'm going to scourge them. I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to scourge them. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. In other words, what I have said I'm going to do for David, I'm going to do. I don't care what they don't do what I say. If they are disobedient, I'm still going to do what I told them I was going to do. What he said? He was going to establish his kingdom forever. Now he's got to have somebody live forever to rule over that kingdom. Once more I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon and as a faithful witness to in heaven. He says it's going to be there. It's not going to fade away. Turn back with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. It's on page 365. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. I'm going to give them a land, and they won't have to move around. I'm going to give them a possession where it'll be theirs. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore. As formerly, and as Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Now God appointed judges first, before the kings. He says, as I appointed them, so there be rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thine own body. I will establish his kingdom. His house, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now this is what God says, and yet there are those who say, this is just spiritual. Now you get David to agree with this. You just get him to agree that he just had a spiritual kingdom, and it really wasn't a physical kingdom, that he really wasn't a king, and he really didn't rule over Israel. Poor David, he got real confused over it. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him. I'm still going to show him mercy. I'm still going to stand. I'm still going to do what I said. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now that's what God told David. He told Nathan to go and tell him this. It's restated here in Psalms chapter 89 and many other places. He states it here in Hebrews chapter 1. That he is to be forever. He is to have a rod, a scepter of righteousness, and it is to be a scepter of thy kingdom. Speaking here of the kingdom that David had and Jesus Christ inherited from him, because Jesus Christ is born of Mary, who was of the lineage of David. She was of the house of David, and therefore he has a right to the throne of David through the line of Mary, and Luke gives us this genealogy where we have Jesus Christ going back to David. And so he is a legal heir to the throne. Now, of course, his father was not Joseph. If it had been Joseph, then he couldn't have sat on the throne, because Joseph's line was cursed. Joseph comes through Coniah. God says Coniah's son's never going to sit on the throne. Cannot sit on the throne of David. But you see, there's another line. And that's where Mary goes through. And Jesus Christ, that son was not cursed. And consequently, he can sit on the throne of David. And he can reign forever. So he's superior in that way. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the God, even thy the God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, of course, this is again quotation there from Psalms. Then in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hath made the foundations of the earth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is superior because he created all things. We learn this from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. You might want to jot that down. We'll not turn there tonight, but this tells us that Jesus Christ created all things. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says the same thing, that he is the Creator, and he created all things. Well, he says that in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish. Now who is they? The heavens. The heavens are going to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the heavens are going to vanish away. They're going to perish. They're going to burn. In Revelation chapter 21, it tells us the same thing. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall never pass away. And it says here in the 11th verse, they shall perish, but thou remainest. The heavens are going to perish, but the sun is going to remain. And they all shall become old as doth a garment. What? The heavens. The heavens are going to become old, and they're going to be like a garment. You know how they decay, and they begin to tear, and they begin to rip. Some of you got on blue jeans that's just about gone. Or if you don't, you've got some in home that are getting sort of threadbare. Well, the heavens are the same way. They doth grow old as a garment. And as a vesture, as a coat, shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Who is thou? The Lord Jesus. He never changes. In the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, he says he's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. This is our Savior. This is our Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. The heavens, earth, they're going to change, but He'll not change. The heavens and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. They fail not. And thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You'll not grow old and fail and be done away with. Then verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? He didn't say that to any angel. When the Lord Jesus Christ, we pointed out this morning, when he died on the cross, he stayed dead 3 days and three nights, he arose again. He walked on the earth for 40 days, and after 40 days he ascended to heaven. And when he ascended to heaven, the Father told him, sit thou on my right hand. And you stay seated there until thine enemies are their footstool. Now he's seated because his work is finished right now. His work is finished until he makes his enemies his footstool. Now what is a footstool? That's what you put your foot on. And Jesus Christ, one of these days, is going to put his foot on the top of the enemy. He's going to even destroy the last enemy, which is death. There'll be no more death. He overcame death, and he can overcome death for you. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're dead in sin. You're separated from God. But there can be fellowship, can be restored, because Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sins when he died on the cross. You see, your sin separates you from God, but when it's been paid for, and it's paid for completely, and that's why Jesus Christ died on that cross, he paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He paid for it all at one time. The Bible says he has redeemed us from all iniquity. If you have to pay for one sin, you'll have to die and go to hell. But he paid for all of them for you. So you'll not have to pay for one single solitary one. If it was just one sin, it charged to your account, you could never go to heaven. Never. You have to be righteous. Perfect. He said, well, I can't ever be perfect. That's right. In your own strength, you can't. But that's why the Lord Jesus Christ took all your sins and God took all your sins and placed them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died there to pay for them. And when you trust him as your Savior, he takes his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and places it upon you. And therefore, you can go to heaven. Now, he's finished that work. He's not finished the work of ruling on the earth. He's going to come back and he's going to establish his kingdom, the kingdom of David, and he's going to rule over the earth for 1,000 years. And then he's going to destroy the heavens and the earth. And then he's going to build a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to rule over that for the rest of eternity. Forever. And this is for the forever kingdom that he's talking about here. And by the way, during that 1,000 years, we will be in physical bodies. They won't just be spiritual bodies. They will be physical bodies that you can handle things with, that you can talk with. It'll be that same body that you have right now, but it'll be a resurrected body. It'll be a glorified body. It'll be the same kind of body that Jesus Christ had after His death. You see, He stayed dead 3 days and 3 nights, and that same body that was placed in that tomb outside the city of the gates of Jerusalem, outside the wall of Jerusalem, and they placed it there in that tomb, 3 days and 3 nights later, that very body came out. And that very body walked on the earth. It ate some fish, walked through walls, but it was a human body. It was a body that you could thrust your fist into His side. You could put your finger in His nail prints. It was a real body. It was a human body. But it was a glorified body. And your body will be resurrected. And one day He's going to make His enemies. He's going to get up off of that throne in heaven, and He's going to come back. And then Satan is going to be chained and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then He's going to rule the earth with a rod of iron in righteousness. That's going to be His scepter. He's going to rule completely right. And there's going to be no graft. There's going to be no outlaws. There's going to be perfect environment. And there's going to be the utopia that everybody's been looking for. Then verse 14. He's talking here about, he says, to which of the angels, verse 13, to which of the angels said He at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they angels? Are they not ministering spirits? Yes. He didn't make them to sit on God's right hand. They weren't called the Son of God. Only Jesus Christ is that. And angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are about to be the heirs of salvation. Angels are ministering to those who are about to be the heirs of salvation. In other words, angels are ministering spirits. They minister to those who are about to be the heirs of salvation. Now, if they are to minister, then they must be lower. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels. When we are placed in the Christ, then we become sons of God. Romans chapter 8 tells us we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we share what He has. And so we have angels that minister to us. They are ministering spirits. And you talk about guardian angels, you can call them whatever you want. But the Bible calls them ministering spirits. They minister to those who are about to be heirs of salvation. So we do have them. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't know how in the world I got out of that tight spot. Could be angels very easily. They do minister. They do protect. Old adage that they take care of the children and older folks, and then sometimes we want to say fools. Well, I'm sure all of us are foolish at times. And I'm sure they have to take care of us under those circumstances. Well, this is starting something of the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He certainly is superior, being God the Son, that He might die for us.